Children can head up to Children's Church, fifth grade and below. Anybody fifth grade and below that wants to head up to Children's Church? And hopefully that is the song of praise we sing. Every single day if we meet people in life and they go, man, I used to know you in high school. Or I used to know you in, and you can say, Jesus has been sent. Everything is different now. That'd be a good thing, isn't it? That's really how our life should be. That since Jesus came, everything's different now. There was a new start, a new beginning. Things aren't like they used to be because there's been somebody else now that has taken up home inside of me. And that is truly what we've been talking about the last 4 weeks, in case you haven't been able to be with us. We have been talking about our access to the Father, our ability to go right into God's presence anytime we need to, with anything we need to. And we talked the first week about how the only way that access occurs is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His work on the cross alone is the only way, and my faith in that, my faith in His work, none of my works, I can't make it on my own. The only way I have entry or presence, you know, with God is because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I believe that. I've trusted it in faith. That's it. Second week, we talked very clearly about that access that we now have into the Father's presence allows us also to claim all of the promises of the Father. And we talked about those promises. We didn't go through all the promises of the Bible. They're everywhere. You start reading the Bible, God has made promises to His people all throughout Scripture. There's no way we can do that for the next 10 years every week and talk about a promise of God. What we talked about is how those promises are there now for the taking. They are available unto us through Christ, but there are times when those promises come by different means. Some of those things you just have to wait for and believe in. Some of those things are conditional. You do have to do certain things to receive those promises. Some of these promises are based on us in some way, and some aren't. And so we talked about that. The third week, last week, we talked about our family privileges that become ours as heirs in the kingdom. We are now brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And whatever He now inherits from the Father in the kingdom, it's all ours also through the blood of Christ. And we talked about what it means. We talked about our standing with Him. And we talked about how God desires us to be back in the family. And so we shared from some different parables last week about how much God desires the lost to come back home and how God desires what was dead to be alive again. And that's whether you are a wayward Christian, you are a believer who has gone away from Him for a while, He wants you to come back. Or if you've never known Him as Father, you've never recognized His work for you on the cross, and you've never entered into that relationship with Him, He says, come home. He wants you back. And this week, we're going to talk about another great thing in that access. When we have access to the presence of God again through Jesus Christ, one thing that's been made available to us then is through the finished work of Christ. So if you're taking notes, your key truth in your bulletin there, because of my relationship to God, through the finished work of Jesus, His Son, I have been born again, and I can live a new life with a new identity or new nature. Okay? Because I've been born again, I have the ability now to live new. I don't have to live the same way I always did before because I've been born again. And I say that because Jesus said it. One night when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a religious leader, came to him to talk to him. about who he was. And they believed the things he was doing and the things he was saying were of God. But they did not recognize him as God, the authority on earth, as Lord and Savior, the Messiah. And so Jesus kind of declared that to him. But Jesus made some other things new and told him very clearly how things would work. That nobody, there's not any person that will ever be in the kingdom, he says, unless they are born again. He very clearly stated this, that I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You will never have the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. And there's no way to be born again unless you have completely surrendered your life and submitted your life to Jesus as King and Lord. And you've trusted his work to pay the debt for your sin, for your work. That's the only way. That's when you're born again. And he tells us when we're born again that there are some things made available to us. And I want to help explain that, hopefully, to you today. I've really, the last couple days, been really praying about this, thinking about what would be the best way, the easiest way you can grasp this. Because I really want you to leave here today understanding that you have access to a brand new identity because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you once again and we just thank you for being allowed to be in your presence. That is no small thing. Every single person, every single thing that has ever been in your presence is face down before you because there is none like you. You are the only creator over all creation. You are the only God there really is. We try to make things and we place them in a position of God over our life. But you are the only God there is. And so we come into your presence right now, Lord, and we just that as we share the truths of your word, would you please, 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 Lord, open our eyes to these truths. Reveal truth to us and understanding. May we gain real wisdom here today, but may we gain an ability to put it into practice so that our lives may be forever changed in your likeness. We love you, we praise you, and we ask you to do this now through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. Listen, first key, you are born again if you have put your faith and trust in Christ. When you were born again, this is that verse we read earlier, but I want to read it to you, and I want you to hear it. This means, so when you're born again, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. So, a new birth represents a new beginning. What it is for you and I, it's an opportunity. It's a new opportunity. It's a new day. It's a brand new beginning, a clean slate, a fresh start. You know, my kids sometimes I love to watch me like when I paint at the house and stuff. And one night my son Judah was there watching and I had painted for like 2 hours. I had already almost finished something. And I messed up. And I tore the whole thing up and threw it away. And he was like, why would you do that? This is like 2 hours of your time already were poured into that. Why would you ever do that? And I said, because it was ruined. And it was marked. There's no way that could be fixed. The only way for this to be fixed is if I start over. And so I had to start all over on it at that moment, even after. And you know what? What God knows about you and I is this. It's been messed up too much. You, in your sin, there is no possible way with your sin nature that you can ever come back from where you were. And the only way is to start over with a clean slate. And the only way that's going to happen is through Jesus and through that new birth. He gives you the ability to start clean again. And man, that's like a praise, isn't it? Listen, even when we rejoiced more when we were kids than we just rejoiced right now when I just said that. You remember when we were kids and we'd be playing kick the can in the backyard and you had already been caught and you were like one of the 10 that were already caught and you were waiting to see if you were going to be it next or not. And something happened during the game that kind of messed up the rules. And so we'd say, "Aye, aye, oxen free. Everybody's free again." And you'd be like, "Yeah, it's not me. It's going to be, yeah, I'm free again." We would get out of there and we'd be free. We're done. We get to go out and hide again and start over. When we were kids, we'd get happy about something about that. And now I'm talking about spiritually getting the ability to start over again. Chirp, chirp. I mean, I think I heard some crickets in the back. This is good. We get to start over. It's good. What we have access to is a new beginning in Christ and through his work. So here's the thing. We have an ability now to start over new. The debt, the past, it's been canceled against you. God is no longer holding your past against you, but he's also empowering you to move to a new place in your life. You can now have access, and you can access a power that gives you the ability to live dead to your old self, but to have the ability that's been granted to you now, a power to live a new life in Christ. Now, here's the mistake. Now, I want to take this for just a second, and I want to teach you this mistake. Well, a lot of people believe, and there are even some churches out there, there's some belief systems that teach this, that once that occurs, when it says the old has gone, they're saying it no longer exists at all. That God has given you a brand new spirit, and the old one is totally gone inside of you, and so you never have to worry about sin or anything ever again. You're brand new, and now that's all gone. And I'm telling you, that's not what the Bible teaches. Listen. It's a mistake if we believe that God just kind of zaps the old man and says, "Hey, that no longer exists. You're never going to have any problems with that anymore. You're a new person, and now your new nature has come. The old one's gone, and so you're never going to have a struggle with sin. You're never going to have a struggle with old desires. You're never going to have a struggle with any old lust. You're never going to have any struggle with any old addiction. You're never going to be bent towards sin ever again." That's not true, and I want to make that clear to you. As believers, okay? Because here's what the Bible is very clear about and teaches, is that where there's two capacities, two things are working now, this new man and this old nature, where those two capacities are coming together and going in opposite directions, there's always going to be conflict. Okay? There's always going to be conflict. And I say that because the Bible says it. In Galatians 5, it says this: "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another." So there's a battle waging within you, is what it means. And as I said, some deny this ever happens, and they just think they're going to live perfect from that day forward. Others go the opposite direction, all the way to the other end, going, "I'm still just human, so I'm going to sin, so whatever." And they just keep living in sin, even though they have the ability not to anymore. And neither one of those are right. We got to find that middle ground. And so what we're going to do is kind of explain this and help you today try to understand the two natures that live inside of you. Okay? So when a person is saved, when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over their life, they submit their life to his will, believing that he already paid the penalty on the cross for them. They receive a new nature inside of them. The Bible says it's one that was created in holiness and true righteousness. It's literally God living on the inside of you. Okay? That you and I, when we believe this, it says we have been made a partaker of his divine nature. So we have God's divine nature now living on the inside of us also. And that's why he says you are a new creation. because God's newness now has moved in into your property, your house. So the question then that people always ask is, now that I have this new nature, then what happens to the old sinful nature? Does it disappear? Is it transformed? Does it change something bad now into something good? Has it been removed altogether? What happens there? And the answer, I think, listen, in 1 John 1, 8 and 10, it says this. If you as a believer, he's talking to believers, if you say that there is no sin in you, and I believe he's saying, if you say that there's no sin nature in you, you are a liar. You're lying to yourself. You're believing what is wrong. And he says, you not only are believing what is wrong and trying to fool yourself, if you say that there's no sin nature within you anymore, but you're also making God a liar. He says, you're calling God a liar, and his word is not alive in you at that point. Because his word is clear, and it tells you that there are two natures. James, Jesus' brother, says, for in many things we all offend. And he's talking to Christians. In many things we all offend. That means we fall short. We mess up. We sin. We go astray is what that word means. So in many things we still do this because there's an old nature living inside of us. So, B, when a person is saved, I know that I've just received a new nature from God, okay? Now, and I want to kind of plant this picture in your head, okay? Now, the Bible calls this our tent, our dwelling, our house, this body we live in. So, in this body that I live in, this is my property where I live. When I receive Christ and put my faith and trust in Jesus, not only does he cancel the sin debt that I rung up against God, gone. No longer does he see me as a sinner ever again. And that's why he says the old is past and the new has come. When God looks at you, he sees you covered in the blood of Jesus. You are holy, you are righteous, and you belong in his kingdom with him. And so he says, there is this place that's already set aside for you in my Father's house. If it weren't true, I wouldn't tell you. And I'm coming back. Day and I'm going to take you home to be with me. But I've already got a place for you. And he says, I'm going to seal the deal by allowing you a spirit to live inside of you. And it's my own spirit that's going to live in you. And that new spirit is as if, and this is just a way, this is what I was kind of praying about. How do we convey this the best way? And there's a verse that Jesus spoke where he said, when you believe in him, he says, a wellspring of life will live within you that never runs dry. It's like this wellspring of life. God has literally planted a new well on your property. Let's just put it that way, okay? So God has come and he's put a brand new well on your property. And out of that well, it's been, the water that you could draw from that well is always pure. It's created in holiness, in true righteousness. It is his divine nature coming out of that well. Now, the second thing that we need be there is this. When a person is saved, the old sin nature is not removed, erased, or eradicated completely. So on your land, in your property, there's still an old well that exists there. And the source of that well is from Adam. And that well has always had sin within it. And just the same way this new well on your land is completely righteous and a divine nature that spews the life of God out of it, all you'll ever find at the bottom of that well is sin, corruption, wickedness, death, destruction. It's always going to be tainted, the water in that well. So we understand in each other. Here we go. We've got this property we live in. I used to only have one well that I could always go to, and it always produced bad stuff. Everything that ever comes out of that well is bad. Now there's a new well on my property, and it's a divine well, and it's full of righteousness and goodness and holiness in there, and it never runs dry, and it's always there. Now, with that said, I want to just remind you, the old never goes. And even Paul spoke about things in his own life, you know, as a believer, when he's preaching and teaching the Romans, you know, the church there and the people in Rome about God. He's talking, and in chapter 8, he's talking about God's Spirit that moves in and can control your life and change your life. But before that, he's saying, listen, this is the problem with all of us. You, me, and every one of us, there's a bad well on your land. And everything it always produces is bad, 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 bad. And he says it this way in Romans chapter 7, multiple times. I am human and I am a slave under sin. He says, no more do I do these things that he doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to do sinful things. But he says, but it's sin that lives in me. I keep drawing from a bad well, so it always ends up bad stuff. He says, nothing good that is in my flesh lives within me, because there's that bad in there. It is my sinful nature, he says, for I want to do what is right, but I have present with me what always wants to do wrong. That old well wants to always produce bad out of it. I find a new law that when I would do good, wrong is still present with me. And then he finally gets to the end there and says, oh, what a wicked, miserable man that I am. Who will save me from myself from this? Praise be to God who sent his son, Jesus, because Jesus is the one that can save me from this. Because when Jesus comes, a new well gets planted in my life. So that old well, just real quick, as we're taking notes, that old well, I just want to make this clear, it does not change. It's never going to become good. Your old nature is never going to be good. It is never going to be transformed into good. Your old nature isn't. When you are saved, the old nature will seem even worse at times. It is always desperately wicked, and it will always remain so. It never becomes less wicked. Galatians 5 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll never change. Man's sinful flesh, it says, will always produce the works of the flesh. So that well is never going to produce anything different. The old nature will not improve. So if you're just hoping, you know, give it time, that old person's going to get better. No, it doesn't. That's why my kids love it when I go, that means discussion's over. We don't talk about this anymore. So when I say something and they try to rebut, I just go, done. It's done at that point. And I'm just saying, God at this point is saying, never going to improve. You can't say that it will. You can't say that maybe you can do better, work harder. It'll just get better over time. No, it won't. Never does. It's not going to improve. So quit hoping for reform of your old self. It doesn't improve its behavior. Because the Bible says it's corrupt. It says it's wretched. It says it's no good thing. It says that about it. It won't be transformed over time either, or changed over time. The old nature is not transformed into something good. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. Flesh does not transform into something spiritual or good. And that's why it says to put off that old man, which is corrupted according to its deceitful lust. So that's why it tells us to put it off. And so, the new birth, the bringing of this new thing, this new well that lives within you, is not a changing of the old, okay? The difference is now I have a choice. See, used to, when that was the only well that lived in my presence, that's all I could ever go to draw from. And every time I ever went to that, it always produces bad. Now, because of God's grace, He no longer counts the sin that came from that well against me. We'll talk about it in a minute. But he also has placed within me a new choice, a new ability, a power to say, you know what, I don't need that anymore. I don't want that anymore. Nothing good ever comes from that. All I want is this from now on. And I have this new power. And so the Bible never says that that old nature is going to be transformed, but it says we as a person can be transformed. I want you to get this. So the house, the person we live in, it can be transformed. That doesn't mean the old nature inside of us is getting changed in any way. It means we are choosing a new way of life from the new well we have, and our house is going to be completely different because of it. It tells us this, and be not conformed any longer to the ways of the world. Don't keep going back to that well. Don't go to that well anymore. That's the ways of the world. That's what the world lives by. Those without Christ have to live that way. And that's what you see at work all the time, is the outpouring of that well in every place you turn, in other people's lives. That's what you see all the time. No longer conform to that anymore, but be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. Things have changed now. I don't have to choose that. I can go to something new. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. 2 Corinthians says, but we all, with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are being changed, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord that He's planted within us can start to change how we look. We can start looking like the image of God again, that we were meant to look like from the beginning, because that spiritual well within us is what we can draw from now. It's changed. And so as we learn to surrender to the right spirit within us, the new nature, our life looks much different because of it. Our life will reap the benefits of that each and every day. Because that old nature, once again also, four, will never be purified. Never can be purified. It's always going to be a polluted well. The water is polluted and corrupt because of the source from which it came from. But the water in the new well is always going to be righteous and pure because of the source from which it comes from. So, do you want? Think about it. If I had land with a house on it, and on that land I had two wells. The one well has been proven to produce bad water. It is corrupt. It is poison. And it will always make you sick and hurt you. Now, I can go out and I can tear down the old well on the ground. And I can put new bricks all around that, repaint it, put me a new covering over that well. I can put new rope and a new bucket on that. But as soon as I lower it down into that well, the only thing I will ever still get from there is what? A bad water source. It's poisoned. It won't work. That's what we try to do when we just try to make our life better on our own. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to work more. I'm going to be determined this time to change. You're just trying to doll up a bad well. It's not going to change. But if you have on that same land or property another well that always produces pure water, would you really choose to go to the bad well and drink? I mean, think about it. It's as simple as that. Would we really choose to go to the bad well and drink? What God has made available to you and I through the work of Jesus Christ is He has given us access to a pure well instead of a poisoned well. And He is giving you the power every day to choose. Do I want to keep going back to that old well? Or will I live by this new that will produce good within me? I can go back and hope for change, improvement, hope for transformation, hope for never going to happen. Never going to happen. Because old nature will never please God, is what the Bible says. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if I keep going to the flesh well, the old nature, always what it will produce will never be pleasing to God. Proverbs multiple times says this, that the sacrifice of the wicked, I could try to do good things and sacrifice to the Lord, do good things for him, but the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 15 says the way of the wicked, all the things that you ultimately do or produce out of the flesh is always an abomination unto the Lord is what it says. Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. So anytime I draw from that well for anything, whether my intentions are good or not, it always comes out bad because the source is wrong. So what choice are you making daily? What source are you drawing from daily is what you have to ask yourself. So as a saved person, I have a choice. I can choose to walk by the Spirit, the new nature, or I can choose to walk in the flesh, the old nature. The only way to please God is to choose the new nature every single day. As believers, God has set us free from the power of sin over our life. That used to be the only choice we could make. We had no choice. But God has set us free from that power. And I want us to see this. Maybe if you could see this in your head, this is super important. Okay? Listen, the day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing that God did in that moment was he justified you. And justification is this. It's being saved from the penalty of sin. So no longer is God's wrath going to be poured out on me because of sin. So I've escaped the penalty of sin when I trusted Jesus that first day. But what God also did is he put a new nature or new spirit within me, which that is being able to be saved from the power of sin. I'm already saved from the penalty of sin. But in this life while I live, I want to be saved from the power that it has over my life. Well, that's what he's doing with the wells. As I've given you a new nature now that you can choose from, and you no longer have to go to that well anymore. I'm giving you power to choose a new well. Your life can be totally different because you have the power to say no to that and yes to this now. So what will you choose? And that's sanctification. That's a process that never ends. The rest of your life, which is really the last thing, that one, you're never going to please God, but also your old nature is always dead, okay? Your old nature is always dead. And it will be until death do us part, okay? Because that's glorification. And that is me being saved from the presence of sin. I am never going to be in the presence of sin ever again on the day Jesus either comes back and takes me home or this body dies and I get to go home. Because on that day, he says he'll give me a brand new body, one that never has sin, never will crave sin, and I'll be in a place where there is no sin. Okay? So, first of all, he wants to save me from the penalty of by Jesus' work on the cross. He wants to give me a spirit to save me from the power of sin so that I can start saying yes to the new well. For the whole time that I live on this earth, I can say yes now and not have to go to that old well anymore. And I can start living free of the power of sin. But one of these days, and it's going to be a glorious day, and I don't care when it comes, it can come today or it can come 1,000 years from now. But one of these days, I'm guaranteeing the fact that he's coming back for me. Or this old body is going to wear out and die, and then I get to go and leave the presence of sin forever. But until that day, I don't have to worry about the penalty. All I got to think about is the power of sin over my life. And it's a choice daily. Do I go to the new well or do I go to the old one? Which one do you want to choose from each and every day? So three, the transformation is a maturing process by which we are learning to live or choose the new nature. Day after day after day after day, moment by moment, hour by hour, day after day, month, month, year, year. We're just learning to choose the new nature every day. And that's what the transformation process is in your life, is you're just learning how to choose right day after day after day. Like I said, past has been erased, and now we have the opportunity to write a brand new chapter for the rest of our life because we have a new nature to subdue our old nature until we're finally glorified and in his presence forever. And there's verses that talk about this. Philippians says, I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So every day from the day he began the work and rescued you from the penalty until the day he finishes the work and rescues you from the presence, he wants to empower you today and every day to live for him and to live a life of blessing and holiness and righteousness and goodness and honor rather than a life of sin. Romans 12 says, do not copy then the behavior or customs of this world. Don't go back to the old well, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will. The more you keep going to that well, you're going to realize how good it is and what it produces, and you're going to keep wanting to go back there. I don't want to go back there anymore because I know that this one's good. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, then throw off the sin nature. Don't go back to the well anymore. And your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So it's a growth process each and every day. We got to practice growing in the Lord. And how do we practice growing in the Lord? By knowing his truth. The well that he's given us even here is we can go to the well every day. In his word, it's the well of truth, facts. But there's also a well that lives within us, that's the Holy Spirit, that we can learn to trust the Spirit and follow it every single day rather than just do what our sin nature says. And that's what we've got to grow into. And so here's the thing, and this is just a little commercial break, okay? And then we're finishing up right after this, but here's the thing. Starting this Wednesday, we understand this here at First Baptist Church. We understand that you have to grow in your walk, okay? Now, on Wednesday nights, we call it kind of like family night. We want everybody to come eat a dinner around the table as a family together. But then we want you to go to Bible study and we want you to learn. We want you to grow. And we're launching a brand new study this Wednesday that is literally just walking in your new nature. It's steps to maturity. And we're going to start with the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, and then we're going to go from there. So if you're kind of new in your faith or say, you know what, I really am not real mature yet. I'm still kind of like a baby drinking milk and I need to work my way to meat and steaks, then you need to show up and we need to walk you there. If you've been a Christian for a while and you're like, you know what, I know all the main stuff, so I kind of got this and I'm okay. No, you're not. You always need to keep growing. And we have another class. And David, I'm just telling you, the difference between he and I'm kind of like an evangelist. We always have I have a joke, like neither one of us say we're either of these people or equal. But there was a guy named D.L. Moody back in the day who was a great evangelist. There was another guy named R.A. Torrey who was a great educator. And when D.L. Moody was going to set up the Moody Institute, Bible Institute, to train people in discipleship, he got R.A. Torrey to come alongside and set up the whole program because he knew he was a better discipler. He knew deeper things or how to teach those deeper things. One of the things is God has gifted me to evangelize and teach you the truths about God on a level that you can get it. But we have another person here who is an educator at a college who can teach you deeper truths about God's truth, theological truths, prophetic truths, things. We got to keep growing in our truths. So we want to offer steps to all levels. So I don't care where you are in your Christian faith. I don't care if you haven't become a Christian yet. Today we hope to change that. I pray that the Lord right now, the Spirit is just saying, you know what? There's something about what you're hearing. And you need that new nature within you. Because you're never going to change the way you are. Only God can do it through Jesus. But then when you are in the relationship, you need to practice. You need to make every effort to grow in your walk with the Lord. You need to mature. So you're learning how to go to the right well more often and draw life from that well, and your life is going to be changed so that when you go to work every day, when you live in your house, when you walk around with everybody else you live with, they will be able to see God's likeness in you, and they will praise God, and they will say, how do I get that? That's why we exist. That's why he doesn't just take us home now. And that's why he gives us the new nature. So, with that said, we've got to learn to live by fact and by faith, okay? So our greatest challenge is letting God, and letting go of who we used to be, but then letting God become greater in our lives. Let him become the greater thing in our lives so that we start to look like he created us to be from the beginning. And how we do that is by fact and by faith. Because God has given us facts. And the fact is, and the Bible tells us very clearly, that the old man, it says, was crucified on the cross with Jesus. What that means is he was already judged, he was already condemned, and God's wrath was already poured out against the old man and everything he used to do. But now God, because he loves us, has given us a new nature to live by. And that's why in Romans 6:6 it says this, knowing this, knowing what we just know now, what we've been studying this whole time, knowing this, that our sin nature is crucified with him, it's already been canceled against us, that the body of sin can be destroyed or rendered ineffective in you. What God was trying to do was render that old well ineffective. I don't want you to use that anymore. Henceforth, he says, we should not serve sin. We have to start going to the new well, is what he's saying. See, that's your position, your standing in Christ, is that he's already canceled the old and made anew. And that's a fact. But you need to reckon it to be true within your own life. You know what? I believe what God says. He already paid my penalty. He already paid the penalty for the old nature. And he made a way so I don't have to go back to that old well anymore. So I refuse to do it anymore. I reckon the old well dead to this day. So today when I wake up, you know what? I've got a choice. But I reckon the old well dead. I will not go there today. Because I believe that going to the new well is how life is changed. And so I believe in the spiritual life, the man that he's put within me. It shows this in a couple of different verses in the Bible. Consider Colossians. Listen, Colossians 3 says this, you have put off the old nature, and you have put on Christ. Those are past tense. You have. It's already been done. But then you look in Ephesians, and it says the exact same thing, but it says do it now. Why does it say that? Because one's a fact that it's already been done. God's already done it for you, but you need to choose it today. One is your standing, but the other one is your experience today. I'm already in right standing with God because of what he already did. He took off my old self and put on a new. I have Christ covering me now in his eyes. But today, while I live in this body, I'm going to do it. I'm going to choose that. So in Ephesians, it says, put off the old man and put on the new. Galatians 3:27 says, we have put on Christ. That's past tense. Romans 13 says, put on Christ. That's a present tense. So do it today. Since it's already been done by him, you go ahead and choose it today. Do it. We look at Galatians 2:20. And it's the verse we all know. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, but I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if we kind of put it in the same terms we've been talking about all day, I, the old well, have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, the old well, still live. Yet I, the new well, that is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I, the new well, now live, I live in that new well by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. So in conclusion, here's the thing. Let go of the old nature by reckoning it dead. I believe the facts. And live in the new nature by choosing daily to yield, feed, and follow the Spirit. The greatest hindrance of your growth as a Christian is you keep going back to the old well. You keep choosing the old well. I keep choosing the old well. We keep choosing the old well. We don't have to do that anymore. It's dead. It's gone. When we take something to the cemetery that's dead, we put it in a hole and we fill it up with dirt. Fill up your old well with dirt. You know, some of you moved on the property where you built a garage, or there's a garage there that had an old well in it, but you want to use it to put your car in there. So you filled that well with dirt, and then you concreted over it, and now you park your car there where there used to be a well. There's a well underneath this car. I've been in some garages before where people say that. You know, right here where you're standing, there used to be a well. You know what? Right here where I'm standing, there used to be a well. And it was nasty and filthy and rotten and full of sin. But when Jesus went to the cross, he condemned it. And he gave me a new well. And now I can go to that new well every single day. And it is a wellspring of life. And it never runs dry. And every single day when I go to that new well, it produces righteousness, goodness, peace, joy, patience. All the things of God just keep flowing out of this. It's amazing what comes out of this new well. I'm sure glad the old one's gone and the new one has come. Is that what our life is like each and every day? That's what God's given us the power to have. That's access to a brand new you each and every day. Let's pray. Father God, I do ask you, even in this moment, through the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, in the hearing of this word, even today, if there's any single person that has never surrendered their life under the work of Jesus Christ, they have never taken account of their own sin and called it what it is, sin. They recognize it as death and destruction And they know that they will never be in your presence and their life will never be able to change. I pray that today, Lord, that they would come and enter into a relationship with you by the way, the only way that you made it possible, through the blood and the work of Jesus Christ. So I pray today that they would come, repent of their sins, accept what Jesus has done on their behalf as payment, condemning their old life, but bringing them a brand new existence through a new nature. I pray, Lord, for every single believer in this room, that, Lord, you would help us reckon the old man dead, the old well. Let us condemn it and fill it and never go back to it again. And let us only drink from the new well. Let us go and rely each and every day to the new nature, that our likeness would be changed to be like yours, that our life would bring you great glory, honor, and praise, that our life would be a witness to a dying world of how their lives could be changed also. God, we thank you for the ability to have access through the blood of Christ. Without his work, we don't even talk about this, Lord. So we praise you for Jesus Christ today. And as we gather around this table, we're going to remember what he has done for us, but help us to live it each and every day by choosing you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for all the gifts made available through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.